We started out this series with the verse Philippians 1:27, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. And we said that's the end game. That's where we're going. That's what we would love to see by the power of the Holy Spirit God accomplish in our lives, that our lives would be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Today, if you'll put up the second slide, we're in the midst of this series and we're in the second category in message number 11, looking at what it means to be gospel-centered, and particularly today. What difference does it make in a Christian's life to live a gospel-centered life? I had an email a couple months ago from an individual that used to be a member of this church just a couple years ago, actually. And he has moved and he's now a pastor in another church. And he writes and says, we feel called to and love our church here in this other state. And he says, because we do hope that we can become more like SGCC in so many ways. One of the biggest challenges about ministering here thus far is the lack of gospel-centeredness in the preaching and discipleship. We have greatly struggled with this, but do believe God has called us here and that we are being told to influence upward as much as possible and wait for God to bring about change, not to run out because it does not look like we think it should right now, but to give time and investment into seeing others grow just as we need ourselves. So please pray for God's grace to help us do this in a way that honors Him and blesses His bride here. Why is gospel-centered living so important? I think one of the major reasons is when you think about Romans chapter 1, verse 16, which says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. Power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now think about that phrase just for a moment. This gospel, the power of God in all of creation, in all the many manifestations that show forth the handiwork of God, they're never described as the power of God, the raging waterfalls, the exploding supernovas, the uncontrollable hurricanes, the ear-splitting earthquakes, the terrifying tornadoes and tsunamis. They're never called the power of God. Yet the gospel we went over last week, this gospel, Jesus Christ, is called the power of God. The question we're asking ourselves this morning and probably a couple Sundays following is, what difference will this make? What difference does it make? I remember I had headaches. I didn't understand it. Remember, I'd come back from the bowling alley. I was in a bowling league when I was 6th or 7th grade. Kind of embarrassing to say, but it was fun. I liked it. And I just had these headaches. And I remember going to school and after basketball practice, walking home. And I'm from Florida and the sun was really bright. I would just get these terrible headaches. And what I didn't realize after going to the eye doctor is that I had an eye problem, which was causing all of these headaches. And that day, though I, in the optometrist's office, unashamedly cried, because now I would have to wear glasses, 7th grade, have people point at me, laugh at me, my headaches vanished. And I could see in a qualitatively different way. Those glasses made all the difference. Gave me the ability not just to have headache-free afternoons, but gave me the ability to see things in a way I had never seen before. The gospel, it changes everything. It gives us the ability to see things and experience things in ways we never have before. I think the gospel is much like this quote from C.S. Lewis that says, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because I see everything by it. In the same way, the gospel not only brings us into relationship with Jesus Christ, it gives us power to live out that relationship in ways that are marvelous and magnificent and make a huge difference in our Christian lives. Let's pray and ask God's blessing. Father, I pray that you would help us today to see this difference and to understand how to apply this power that you've given. Lord, I pray that our eyes may be opened. And I pray that our hearts may be full. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a glimpse of the power of God and the person of Christ in His gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to look just at two things as we're walking through this series, What Difference Will It Make? I want to look at the difference that it brings in freedom and the difference that it brings in change or growth. You know, I think many times the gospel is much like a wall socket that has energy and electricity that are just ready to flow. But in order for you to tap into that energy, you have to tap into the wall. But we as Christians are plugged in to that wall, to our Savior, Jesus Christ, to the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have the ability to live in power. But many times, for whatever reason, we don't make application of that power. We're like the individuals who live in a fully functioning home, but haven't tapped into that power. And so they have no lights, or they have no heat, or they have no means to cook or clean. See, Christians have this gospel power that brings freedom. And it changes their lives in substantial ways. The unbeliever has not this freedom. They have not the promise of the Father taking care of them. It all depends upon them. If they are going to live a life that is somehow satisfactory, it depends on their performance. It depends on their strength, their willpower, their decision-making ability. Unlike Christians who have a Father who takes care of them. Listen, if it all depends on you to take care of you, then you're just a grown-up orphan. But not with Christ. He gives us marvelous freedoms. And I want to just look at a few of these freedoms today. And there are many others. But the gospel makes a difference in our lives because it gives us the freedom from the opinions of others. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Paul writes to Galatians, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke slavery. You know, I'm from the land of I don't care. Now, this land that I'm from or was born into was a land where a number of creatures would walk around, and oftentimes they were silver-haired gentlemen. And oftentimes these silver-haired gentlemen who were not born in the land of I don't care, but they came to relocate in the land of I don't care. And they would oftentimes wear things that expressed, rather aptly, their philosophy on life, that I don't care. They'd often wear plaid shorts, and they were always up over their belly buttons. They had huge belts that didn't match their shorts. Oftentimes, their socks were pulled up all the way to their knees. They wore dress shoes with these socks. They often had plaid or Hawaiian-type t-shirts, maybe sunglasses on their head. Many times, the sunblock was still white on their nose and on their head. And they're at this land of I don't care, where at least in high school, the average age was 55 of any residents in my hometown. These individuals had come to a place where they said, I don't care anymore what anyone else thinks about me. Because you know what? I've lived that life and I've played that game all my life. And now that I'm 85 or 95 or 105, I don't care. They learned a secret that the gospel gives us power. The gospel gives us the power to live in a way where we're free from the opinions of others. Think about this for a moment. The girl who's at the recital, the student who's about to give a speech, who's nervous as all get out, the debutante or the boy who is just entering into the new team for the very first practice and looks around and he sees everybody else knows everybody and they experience this common emotion that we all experience, is fear or nervousness. And what's behind that most often is, what if I mess up? What if I don't sing so well? What if my speech bombs? What if I'm not very good? And the opinions of others enslave us and they capture us and shackle us and rob us from the joy that God intended. Well, living a gospel-centered life, applying the gospel in this situation, makes all the difference in the world. You see, because the gospel says that you're already accepted. God has accepted you. Christ has accepted you. And He has not accepted you on the basis of your performance or of your ability or of your reasoning. Instead, God has accepted you on the basis of what Christ has done. And now you go to that team or you get ready to play that instrument, or you begin to interact in that small group that you've never come to before, and you experience the freedom that God intends because you're living a gospel-centered life and you're applying the fact that Christ has already accepted you and you have nothing to fear. The gospel gives us not only freedom from the opinions of others, but freedom from the expectation of others. One of the wonderful things about the gospel is this. We've already been judged. You see, many times in our lives, that which we fear most is the judgment or the expectation of other people. That somehow we won't meet the standard. Somehow we won't measure up. And in many times we find our identity in the expectation of other people. And as we strive to somehow please other people, or as we strive to somehow measure up to other people's expectations, what we learn about people is as soon as we meet that expectation, guess what? There's another expectation. And then another expectation. And then we realize as our identity begins to crumble and begins to shatter because we're not measuring up, we're not achieving that standard, we feel the judgment of others and oftentimes the judgment of ourselves. But here's the good news of the gospel. God's already judged you. And as He's judged you, Christian, He's found you righteous. J.I. Packer writes, to be right with God, the judge, is a great thing. But to be loved and cared for by God, the Father, is greater. See, when you know you are accepted and have been judged by the Father, who's the supreme judge, who's the only right and pure and righteous one, and He has judged you as holy and righteous, it grants you a newfound freedom, a freedom that only the gospel of Jesus Christ brings, because Jesus took your sins upon the cross and He took all of your sins upon the cross. And God, while His Son was on the cross, poured out His wrath upon Jesus and judged every one of your shortcomings, every one of your failures, every one of your sins. And now? Now He delights in you. Isaiah says it this way, you shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. That particular scripture is given to the nation of Israel, but I believe it projects forward to the great bridegroom and to the bride who will be given to that bridegroom. And that bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall God rejoice over you. When you know that your Father in heaven, by the power of the gospel, by applying the gospel to everyday situations, realize that God delights and rejoices over you, it frees you from the expectations of others. And you can say, I don't give a hoot what you think of me. It doesn't really matter to me what you think of my performance. You know why? Because God delights in me. And He rejoices in me. And I've been accepted by Him. And now I can hear all those things and learn from those things and grow in those things. But listen, this is important, because we need to hear, we need to listen, we need to grow. But never be captured by those things. Never shackled by those things. Why? Because the gospel has set me free. And for freedom, Christ has set us free. And therefore, we are stand firm in that gospel and not again submit to a yoke of slavery. We're free from the freedom, or we experience freedom from the opinions of others. The gospel allows us the freedom from the expectation of others. It also frees us from the performance treadmill. See, the gospel reminds the Christian that his relationship or her relationship is based on Christ's performance, which they are given the right to enjoy the benefits. To me, this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21, is the most important verse in all the Bible. For God made Him who had no sin. God made Him who had no sin. God made Him, Jesus, who had no sin. He performed perfectly to be sin for us. That's you and me. If you are a Christian here this morning. In order that we might become the righteousness of God. You see, Christ has performed for us. And no longer do we have to try to perform for Christ. The gospel, as I'm thinking about the gospel, it allows me this wonderful freedom to live in a way that's different from my classmates who are so stressed during exam time. It gives me the power to live differently than someone who's experiencing a difficult trial, if I'm experiencing a very similar trial. Why? because I know my God, my Savior, has performed on my behalf, and I don't have to worry about my responses. I don't have to worry about blowing that relationship. I don't have to live as if I am afraid that I am going to mess it up. You see, in those lives, in that performance treadmill that so often Satan tries to pull us into, what becomes the most important thing to us are rules. And if we keep those rules, we somehow believe that God will be more pleased, that somehow we'll measure up, that somehow God loves me because I'm coloring inside the lines. And oftentimes we relate to other people the same way. We love them if they color inside the lines as well. But those lives are sapped of joy. And many times Christians who aren't living in the good of the gospel, who aren't living this gospel-centered life that God intends us to lead, there's no joy. Philip Yancey says it this way. He says, when I attended Bible college, I observed people who followed the rules and missed God, and people who broke the rules and missed God. What burdens me, though, is that group of people who still believe that they miss God because they broke the rules. They never heard the melody of the gospel of grace. Listen, here's the good news. Here's the great news. Here's the incredible news. Jesus kept all the rules for you. And your record's perfect. It's spotless. It cannot be improved upon. Because He has performed, you have relationship, Christian, with God. And now you get to experience the freedom of that relationship. I loved my grandma growing up. Many of you probably love your grandmas too. My grandma died when I was 20 years old, but all my other grandparents had already passed away, and she was the last one, and my dad had promised his father-in-law that he would take good care of her, and he did a fantastic job. And Grandma went wherever we went. She went on every vacation, and I just have glorious memories of interacting with my grandma. But I felt so free with my grandma. If I needed to burp, I would just burp. You know, if I needed to do whatever, I would just do whatever. And there was a sense where she loved me, and she cared for me, and it just... I could say anything to Grandma. Oftentimes I would say things just to get a reaction out of her. It was just a wonderful relationship. But I didn't have to perform for Grandma. I didn't have to somehow measure up. She thought I hung the moon. I don't know why, but that's what she thought. Or at least that's the way she treated me. Listen, Galatians 4:6 talks about this. Listen, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Note well, because you are sons. Why did we receive the Spirit? Because we already are sons, not because we've earned our sonship, not because we keep our sonship. We've already been given it. We can't earn what we have freely received. And oh, the Christian who understands the freedom that the gospel is bringing jumps off that performance treadmill and just begins to enjoy life and experience the kind of joy that God intends. And God gives us this fourth bullet point here, this freedom to enjoy. I love this Steve Brown quote. He says, religion has made us obsessive about or almost beyond endurance. Jesus invited us to a dance, and we've turned it into a march of soldiers, always checking to see if we're doing it right and are in step in line with the other soldiers. We know a dance would be more fun, but we believe we must go through hell to get to heaven. So we keep on marching. You see, the gospel gives us the power to enjoy the life that Christ has secured for us. No longer, Jesus says, do I call you servants? For the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you what? Friends. Think about that for a moment. The Creator of the universe, I have called you friend. Oftentimes, we as Christians don't relate to God as Father, but we relate to Him as Colonel. Not as an adopted son, but as a drafted private. We're thrilled to be in the platoon, but we wouldn't dare to think to get a hug from our leader. Listen, the gospel says you were once an enemy, but now you're a beloved son because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice, because of His work, because of His substitutionary atonement on your behalf. Listen, are you this morning relating to God as Father? Or maybe unconsciously, instead relating to Him as critic? Or maybe judge? Maybe orphan? Or referee? Or evaluator? As if somehow God is disappointed or dissatisfied? Or if somehow God is just enduring the relationship? No, God gives us the freedom to enjoy relationship with Him. And as we apply the gospel to our lives, as we keep the gospel centered, what Jesus did on our behalf, no, we do not and we have not earned that relationship. Yes, our sin is far greater than anything we could ever imagine. But at the same time, God's love and His provision in the person of Jesus Christ, who took your sin, every single one of your sins, both past, present, and future, upon the cross, you now relate to God no longer as judge, but as daddy. And He's giving you the freedom to enjoy. I think we've all probably in here seen the Lord of the Rings trilogy or read maybe some of the books, but the only thing that really stands out to me, other than, I don't know, those wonderful vile creatures that I took my young children to at times and thinking, what was I thinking as we're watching these things on the movie screen? But I just love the Shire, and I love the music, and I love the freedom that those inhabitants there are enjoying as they're relating to one another. There's just, it seems pure innocent glee that seems special, as if the sun is shining on that place in a special way. Well, listen, Christian, if you're here this morning, the sun has shone upon your heart, and He has called you into the warmth of His relationship with His Heavenly Father, and you have the right and the freedom to enjoy that relationship, to dance rather than to march. Remember, Christian, as Martin Luther said, righteousness is not man's gift to God, but it's God's gift to man. And He's given it. The gospel gives you freedom from fear. No longer do you have to fear death. 1 Corinthians 15:54 says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The gospel brings freedom from fear in the area of provision. Philippians 4:19 says that my God shall supply every need of yours according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It brings freedom from fear, from the fear of failure. It allows you to boldly try, to go all in, as Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Why? Because of the gospel. Because of that relationship. Because of Christ's performance on your behalf. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. We have the freedom to fail. It's okay as you are there in that recital doing your best and you're all nervous and you're sweating profusely and your hands are shaking. And then the Holy Spirit says, Bruce, preach the gospel to yourself right now. And you begin thinking, what does that mean? And you begin saying, okay, hold on.
hold on. I was once an enemy of God. I was once going my own way. I was once an orphan all alone. I was once a sinner who was under the wrath of God. But Christ came and performed for me. And His performance is perfect. And God is fully satisfied. And He took all my sins and all my failures. And He took them upon the cross on my behalf. And He said, Bruce, I have accepted you now. I've taken your sins, every one of them, and I've given you my righteousness. You are now my son. You are accepted. You are beloved. I rejoice over you. I am giving my spirit to you to be with you forever and forever. Now pick up that instrument and dance. That's the freedom that the Christian enjoys. Are you enjoying that kind of freedom right now? It's God's intention for you to enjoy that kind of freedom every single day. Freedom from fear. Freedom to fail. The gospel gives us freedom from self-love. Freedom from the preoccupation with the world of me. Listen, it is really hard to have freedom from this world, the world of me, not just because of indwelling sin, not just because our nature is and our default is to care for self and to guard self and to satisfy and please self, not just because of those things, but because our society is so given to it. Here, have a particular device and make sure you don't listen to any songs you don't want to. Just have all of your songs and make sure on your internet connection somehow that you have just your friends, just the people you want to be around, that you want to talk to, that you want to communicate with. And there's a sense where all these devices and all these things from cable TV to say, no, don't worry about all those channels. What channels would you like? Let's make it all for you. And we go over our temperature setting in our house and we say, what temperature would you like tonight? And then we go into the shower and we think to ourselves, am I going to take a medium warm shower or am I just going to go for it and take that really hot one? Everything around us is catering to self. And many times we can fall into this trap. We can have this preoccupation with the world of me, but the gospel frees us from that world. It frees us from the world of having to have things our way, of having to always be included, or having to always have our opinions valued. You see, the gospel lets you know that there's someone else whose love is deeper than your own love for yourself. Someone who will defend you against every accusation. Someone who protects you from the wiles of the world and the flaming arrows of the evil one. Someone who will stick closer than a brother. Someone who will satisfy the longing soul and the hungry soul. He fills with good things. The gospel frees you of being a caretaker of self and liberates you to take care to share the love of God and bring glory to Christ. It is so beautiful when you see, when you know, when you experience this freedom. This freedom that liberates us from the world of me. I'm going to protect their identity, but there's a person in this congregation who is amazingly willing to give their kidney away. Not to a spouse, not to a child, parent, not to a relative, but just to an ordinary neighbor. And this individual went through all the testing, went through the whole process, and it was found that they would not be a match. And so it didn't come to fruition. But what do you call that desire? What do you call that will? That's crazy. No, that's freedom.
That's freedom and liberation from the world of me. That's a person who understands the gospel. That's a person who says, I'm so enthralled with how my Savior gave His life for me that I can give my kidney for my neighbor. That person understands the gospel. I'm so secure in my knowledge that when I die, I'll be with the Lord. Even if I go on the operating table and my other kidney fails, I know I'm going to be with the Lord. This person is applying this gospel that brings freedom from the world of me. And it shouts to the rest of the world, there's something greater. You see, the gospel makes victims victors. The gospel takes captured, selfish souls and exonerates them to captivate other souls with God's love for them, taking their eyes off themselves and placing them on Prince Jesus. Isn't it marvelous when you meet someone like that? Isn't it the power of God? That's why Paul says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. It is this powerful working. It's not just words. It's not just a formula. It's not just an evangelism ploy. It's a person. It's His gospel. It's Christ's gospel. And this Christ, this giver of the gospel, says in John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, what? You will be free indeed. 2 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and when the Spirit of the Lord is, what? There is freedom. This gospel brings the Spirit of the Lord, Holy Spirit. And this Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, brings freedom to live life a different way. What difference does the gospel make? It makes all the difference in the world. Listen, it makes a difference, not just like my opening illustration of my glasses, where now I see things far away a little bit more clearly, and now I experience fewer headaches. It's much more apt to say the gospel is like someone who was born blind, and now they see. In John chapter 9, you remember the story of Jesus healing this man born blind. In John chapter 9, verse 1 says, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And skipping down to verse 5, Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And so he went and washed and came back seeing. What must it have been like to have been that man who was born blind, who was perhaps had friends and relatives who tried to describe what the trees looked like, or to describe just what a relative looked like? How frustrating it must have been to try to envision things without ever having the experience or any visions in which to envision things with. But how glorious it must have been that day to come back seeing. But you see, Jesus doesn't stop there. After he goes and makes a mockery of the leaders, it's a hilarious story in John chapter 9 as he testifies to this Jesus. And he says, I don't know about this Jesus. All I know is that he's blind and now I see. But later, in verse 35, Scripture says, Jesus heard that they cast him out. And having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, you have seen him. You have seen him. You have seen him. And it is he who is speaking to you. And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Listen. Christian, you've seen Christ. You've seen him. And you've experienced him. And you've experienced that freedom that I was talking about here at one time or many times in your life. But listen to God's gracious gift to this man. It wasn't enough that he would just see. Jesus came looking for that man. He wanted to make sure that he didn't merely see physically, but that he would see spiritually, and that he would enter into relationship with Christ himself. In the same way, God has done that for us. And he doesn't merely want to put a new pair of glasses on your eyes. He wants to open your eyes. And he wants you to experience that relationship and the power of God that comes through and only through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it won't happen if it's on the periphery. That experience happens as we, with God's help and direction and power, as we put God in the center. And as we apply this truth, as we apply this person, as we plug in to the Spirit, we too can experience the power of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. What difference does it make, friend? It makes all the difference in the world. Are you experiencing that freedom today? Are you experiencing freedom from others' opinions? Are you experiencing freedom just to enjoy? Are you experiencing freedom of relationship? Listen, it comes the same way that you came to know Christ in the first place. It comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ and putting Him in the center, making Him in the center, and living in the center of that relationship. I didn't have time, if the worship team would come forward, to get to this morning, the second half. But know this. I want to leave us with this, and maybe we'll talk about these points later next week and the weeks following. But listen, this power of the gospel is not only given for us to adore Christ. It's the power of God, yes, to adore Him. It's the power of God to see Him for who He is, as we talked about. But it's the power of God to experience Him as well. And as long as we are here on this earth, God calls us not only to adore, but calls us to apply the gospel to our lives. You see, in heaven, we're just going to adore. We're just going to marvel. But on earth, this gospel is given to us not merely to open our eyes so that we would marvel, not merely to open our eyes so that we would adore, but it's given to us also in order that we would apply and experience this power, this freedom that God has given. But it only comes and it's only available for those who are in Christ. If you are here this morning and don't know this Christ, don't know this God, I would implore you to repent of your sins, to acknowledge that you have sinned, that you have rebelled, that you have broken His law and turned your back, and that you would simply call out, "Lord, I acknowledge my sins. I need You. I want relationship with You. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Won't You come and take my life now? I surrender to You. I want You to take over my life, and I want to experience that freedom. I want to experience more than that freedom. I want to experience that one who brings that freedom. I want to experience that person behind the gospel. I want to experience the owner of the gospel, Jesus Christ." If you'll call out to Him today, He'll receive you. And you will receive that relationship and that freedom that we're talking about. Let's stand and sing together.